Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. Today's discussion is probably best suited for bankers and credit unions, mortgage lenders and digital bankers, because we're talking about the evolution in speed and choice and convenience in loan payment services. We're joined today by Marcel King, Chief Innovation Officer at Payveris, as well as Mercator Advisor Group's own Director of Debit and Alternative Payments, Sarah Grotta. Marcel opens the discussion outlining the changes that have occurred in consumer expectations, but also in multi-channel payment options. Sarah details the state of play in banks' development of loan solutions, and the conversation concludes with an analysis of a series of insightful data that come from a recent J.D. Power survey. Without further ado, let's take it to the show. So Marcel, consumers enjoy more payment choices, speed, convenience, and about every other aspect of their financial lives, and now they expect the same from their loan payment servicers. Curious if you can elaborate on that.
Yeah, look, when you think about consumers today and their shopping experiences, their online shopping, they're buying, they're paying their bills, you know, all these things, you know, when they're using their debit card, their credit card, they're using things like P2P to move money in real time. So, you know, there's been this expectation that within the entire payment spectrum that money should move in real time. There should be convenience for those consumers to pay anytime, anywhere, from any device that they want to. And so when we think about, you know, loan payments, it's the same thing. You look at some of the legacy systems out in the marketplace right now, and you know, there are institutions that still provide coupons and require you to send in checks. And you have a 22-year-old son, I have a 26-year-old son, and I have a 29-year-old daughter, and none of them have checkbooks. So, you know, for a consumer to have to pay their loan with a check and a coupon is, I would say, kind of ludicrous. Now, I don't want to offend anyone, but, you know, that's the case, especially when you think about the millennials. So, you know, from a loan payments perspective, you know, you have to be able to give the consumer the ability to pay with whatever payment method they want that's eligible for a loan payment, a debit card, digital wallet, whatever it may be. But even more importantly, you want to make it convenient for the consumer so that they can pay from any device, from any channel they want to. And that's just what the kind of expectation is now, because, you know, consumers have adopted to mobile phones. They're using Alexa. They're using Google Home. So they have all these different ways that they're interacting with their purchases and with their information, and loan payments is no different. It's all about convenience, simplicity, and speed.
Yeah, so, you know, I think what you're talking about is when it comes to loan payments, really sort of meeting customers where they are and where they want to be. And I think if a financial institution thinks about that first, you know, they're always going to have a more successful solution. But honestly, I don't know that the banking industry has necessarily done that to date. Perhaps it's getting a little bit better, but I think there's still some room for improvement. But, you know, I think what we often see from traditional banking bill payment solutions is, you know, the option for consumers to pay with a checking account. And that just doesn't always work for consumers. I think in part because, you know, our financial lives have become so decentralized, if you will. You know, I may have some money that I could use to make my loan payments sitting in a mobile wallet, or perhaps I have a savings account or a secondary checking account with a digital bank that I want to use. So offering a choice of payment, I think, is always good for banks and credit unions to offer as an option. And the more options, that, you know, the greater the likelihood that the payment is going to be paid through that financial institution, which only increases the loyalty.
I think to that point, Sarah, you know, I think the biggest challenge is you don't want to constrain your customers and members from being able to pay or repay their loans, right? And if you're constraining them or limiting them, it creates friction in their experience. And secondarily, if that friction is too high, you know, in many cases, the loan may be the first entree to your institution. And if you create friction and it's difficult for consumers to pay when and where and how they want to, that could leave a bad taste in their mouth. And they might think second about doing business with you further. Right?
Yeah, great point. And it really diminishes your cross-sell opportunities.
Very cool. So clearly a focus on payment flexibility and the different channels that consumers have grown to expect to be able to meet their payment needs. It sounds as if financial institutions are somewhat behind in modernizing, perhaps particularly the loan payment experience. So Marcel, can you talk to me about what it takes to modernize channel and speed and autonomy that consumers are used to in the digital payment side, but how do you bring that to the loan side?
Yeah, well, look, I think the challenge right now for institutions, as you said, there a lot of institutions are running on fairly legacy systems. And what I mean by legacy is, 10, 15-year-old, sometimes 20-year-old technology that was, created in the 90s, which seems so long ago now. Those technologies were built in the 90s based on the payment capabilities of the 90s, right? And now that you have all these different ways of paying in real time, many institutions can be risk averse to change, and they say, hey, it's not broken. My customers aren't asking for it. Well, customers generally aren't going to ask for something. They're just going to find what's most convenient for them, right? And so you tend to kind of miss a little bit of the boat there. But, in terms of, what it takes to, offer customers that convenience is really just a customer-centric mindset first, right? You have to think through who your customers or your borrowers are and, what are the mechanisms and tools and payment methods that they're using. Sarah touched on a little bit earlier. It may not just be a checking account. Consumers have money spread all over the place. I myself have a Venmo account. I've got a Cash App account. I have a PayPal account. and there's little pockets of money, all over the place. And, for a consumer to be able to, make those payments through whatever channel is critical. So, really it takes a consumer-centric mindset. I worked at Amazon for about 4 years. And, the motto is start with the customer and work your way backwards. And I think, the challenge for some institutions is, they're limiting themselves to technology that either they use, right, or they're not really thinking about kind of who the customers are and what payment methods that they want to bring to the table.
Yeah, just to kind of, sort of double down on sort of our legacy infrastructure and the problems that it's creating. At Mercator, we've conducted payment studies, surveys with thousands of consumers in the U.S., and we asked them about the channels and the payment types that they're using today to make their loan payments. And then we asked them, okay, those are the channels and payments you're using today. What do you find most convenient? How would you like to make those payments? And what's interesting is the stark difference between how they're making payments today and how they really want to make those payments today. So if we can start, to bring those two things in alignment, the experience is going to get a lot better. And I think, financial institutions have the opportunity to bring those customers back into their solutions. And, look, the bill pay market in total, not just loan payments, but in total is over $4 trillion in the U.S. So I think it's worth paying attention to.
Absolutely.
So, Marcel, we've got some great data here from a J.D. Power study, which found that non-bank loan servicers saw a 17% increase in customer satisfaction, while banks only saw a 4% increase. So that's a pretty big delta there between 17 and 4. On top of that, J.D. Power is noting that financial institutions' customer satisfaction scores were actually inflated by more modern services in other areas like bill pay and money movement, sort of potentially papering over their weaknesses in loan payments. Curious if you can offer your perspective on that data and the idea of banks coming up to speed.
Well, when you think about the kind of non-bank loan servicers, right? These organizations, a lot of them tend to be kind of technology, companies first. You think of something like a kind of Rocket Mortgage, right? They're leveraging technology to provide consumer convenience and speed and simplicity, things that the consumers are looking for to differentiate their products from other products and other organizations. And they're using more modern technology to do so. Right? You think of things like the cloud and open source software and APIs and how the technology companies can create and control the user experiences and optimize those experiences for simplicity. Again, I think that the challenge for a lot of institutions is that they implement a technology and they continue to run with the technology. And if there's little innovation on that, or maybe the company gets acquired by one of the large core processors, you tend to see this kind of pattern of you buy and then there's not a lot of investment going into it in terms of adding additional capabilities, right? So thinking about, the debit card or digital wallets and things on that line. So yeah, I think what you see is that, the technology companies who are providing banking type services, whether it's loans, deposits, payments, et cetera, they're using technology to focus on the customer value proposition, which is convenience, simplicity, speed, control, et cetera. And I think the biggest challenge is that a lot of institutions haven't quite got there yet because they're limited by what they have in the marketplace. And so, you know, when I look at what Paymentus is bringing to the table, you know, we're looking, again, focused on the customer. What channels do the customer want to pay from? What type of payment methods do they have? Where does their money sit and enable them to, you know, make payments from anywhere? So I think that's the biggest difference, is really just, again, the mindset and the technology and how they use technology to actually provide a stronger value proposition to the consumer.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one way that financial institutions can take new technology and offer good optionality to customers, it gives them the opportunity to reduce friction, not just in those sort of everyday repayment scenarios, but certainly when it comes to things like handling exception items. And I'm thinking of exception items for the customer. So if the customer is in danger of making a late payment, you know, are there opportunities to provide notifications and information to the consumer? Are there instant payment options so that a last minute payment can be made? Or are instant payments available to transfer funds from other accounts to help meet the loan payment? Or even, you know, multiple payment types for a single repayment transaction. So, you know, I think the opportunity to help consumers, particularly for those exception items, again, really helps to increase that loyalty and just provide that better experience for customers.
Hey, that's a good point, Sarah. You know, think about texting, right? And the volume of texting that goes on today. And I believe I read somewhere that, you know, more than 82% of texts are open. So if you can provide the consumer a convenient way who is heavily into texting or even moderately into texting, we know there's a high open rate versus an email, where an email might get stuck or kind of sit in 100 other emails of spam from various surveys and membership reward programs, et cetera, that aren't as critical to making your loan payment. But if you could send a message to their mobile phone via text and allow them to respond with, yes, pay my loan with a card that's already on file instantly, that simplifies the experience, provides more convenience, increases customer satisfaction, because you've just given them a very easy way to receive a notification that my payment is due, to pay all in one simple kind of cycle, you know, within the text message, which, you know, again, many of us are on our text messages and using our phones, you know, multiple times a day. So that's another way they kind of think about, you know, how do you get into the channels where the consumers are most active to provide those notifications, but also to provide the ability for them to make the payments on the loans that they have with the institutions.
Marcella, we've got some more interesting data from J.D. Power that actually really echoes a different conversation we were having on Payments Journal recently regarding fraud. And consumers were mentioning that they listened to their banks if they made the fraud insights more apparent. If you brought the web pages forward, that they'd be happy to digest, you know, news about how to avoid fraud. And our data point here about sort of the unmet opportunity. We've got a very large opportunity for banks to meet an unmet consumer demand for loan payments. However, J.D. Power points out that only 38% of customers say they found the desired information on their servicer's website within the first two pages, a J.D. Power study on mortgage services reports. So when consumers had to visit more than two pages, overall satisfaction declined 55 points. So curious if you can comment on the unmet demand and on pulling data forward for consumers.
Yeah, I think this is kind of fundamental, kind of call it, you know, website information 101. And it's really about understanding what your customers are doing when they come to your website and what are the click journeys required to get the information that is most looked for or inquired on most, right? So if you do a kind of journey map and click-through mapping, you know, you can analyze that data and see that, wow, I have, you know, 45% of the website traffic is ending at this specific point of information about my loan, yet it takes five clicks to get there, right? So if that's the case, then I should be moving that specific information higher into my website, into page one or page two, right? So I think this is kind of fundamental basic analysis of your website traffic and understanding, you know, what are your consumers trying to do and how many pages or click-throughs do they need to make to get to that information, and what percentage of your consumers are actually, you know, looking for that information. So you start tying those data points together and you can quickly understand that, wow, okay, you know what, this is buried pretty deep. It's taken the average consumer five clicks to get there. how do I get it onto the first page if this is a significant percentage of my consumers looking for this specific information?
I don't think I have anything to add there. Yeah, let Marcel have the last word.
Yeah, I was gonna throw in two pennies of my own, or possibly attribute a quote to, I think it was Tim Sloan, who's Mercator Advisory Group's Vice President of Payments Innovation. When I first joined the firm, he explained to me that payments was an and industry. That as we get more and more, you get P2P, you get Venmo, you get PayPal. It just makes and crypto, and yet the other ends of the payment spectrum, they don't fall off. Checks don't disappear just because Marcel's kids don't use them.
Right.
And it struck me as a through line of our conversation today that loan payment was very similar. It's another and that ought to have a more marquee space.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, loans are a primary source of revenue for financial institutions, right? I mean, it is a key element of why they exist, right? They've got to provide loans. And in many cases, those loans may be from consumers who don't use that same institution as their primary bank because that institution offered some great rates and that consumer either found that institution through maybe a car dealer, maybe they found it on the website, whatever it might be. And so you got these great rates, but if you don't make it easy for the consumer to make their payments, it's going to lead to frustration and, the ability to provide something that's convenient, simple, fast. The consumers expect fast, right? So you think if I can go online, go to Amazon and order a 72-inch big screen and get it the same day, why can't I get my payment posted the same day? There are still some institutions that are posting the following day. So I think it's probably a very strange experience when you want to pay for something online that is digital. And it's not even a physical product. It is a digital payment for a service. Why that payment would not be real time. And I think that can be frustrating, can be disappointing, whatever adjective you want to use, can lead to frustration. And you don't want to do that. So, it's important that you just think about consumer, what do they need? What do they want? And how can you serve them? And I think if you think about it from that perspective, that's a win-win proposition. Consumer wins and you win as well.
That's awesome. Thank you, Marcel, and thank you, Sarah, for sharing your expertise today. Great conversation on loan payment modernization.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. Good seeing you again. Take care.
Take care. Yeah, absolutely.